The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday afternoon. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483 on a windy, rainy afternoon. Hey. We need the rain. What is it? April showers bring May flowers? Well, I certainly hope so. As I said yesterday, though, spring is an absolutely beautiful time here in the state of Ohio. And we can put up with a little rain, a little wind. I am delighted that you have joined me. Sad, but I've got to begin the program with a little bit of negative news for those of you who love fairs. I do. I grew up in Southern California going to the Los Angeles County Fair. We went every year. And being California in Los Angeles County, our county fair was probably twice the size of most state fairs. Loved going to the fair. I will never forget seeing my first microwave. Oh, yeah, I'm that old. It was being introduced to the county fair, and they were cooking hot dogs in 30 seconds, and everybody was just, oh, my goodness. You know, that's where all of the new products, the new gadgets, the new gimmicks were introduced to the fair. Well, a lot of that has happened through the years at the Ohio State Fair as well. Love the Ohio State Fair. Joy and I have always enjoyed going. Years ago, we used to broadcast my program. In fact, those of you who have been around Columbus for 30 years or so, you'll remember that all of the TV stations did their evening newscasts live from the Ohio State Fair. They had their own pavilions. They had their own studios out at the fair. That's been gone a long time ago. WRFD, probably 45 to 50 years ago, sponsored a huge pavilion at the fair. It was the WRFD Pavilion, and hundreds, if not thousands, of people would come for concerts and all kinds of things. Anyway, I've always loved fairs. Bad news. Here's the headline today. Yep, this came out today. The Ohio State Fair will be closed to the public again this year. The bad news was shared on the website of the Ohio State Fair. The Ohio Expositions Commission members expressed concern for public health and the financial impact of holding an event that would need to adhere to safety protocols. And here's the saddest part. Quote, as well as the lasting impact of the long-term viability of the fair, according to the announcement. When you cut through all of the gobbledygook within the announcement, here's what they're saying. They're not as concerned about the physical welfare being, you know, the state fair being a coronavirus mega spreader. They're concerned about that, but the major concern is finances, because they know that no matter what they do, attendance is going to be way, way, way down. Even if they open the doors and say, hey, just y'all come, they know, because of the whole COVID fear and, you know, that attendance is going to be down, but they would have to put up probably the same amount of money. And the goal of the Ohio State Fair each year is to break even. They don't care if they make a profit, but they don't want to lose. So they try to break even. So if they open the fair to previous standards and put out the same amount of money to put on the fair, and half the number of people show up, which would mean half the revenue, which would mean they would go into the hole, and they might not be able to have a fair next year at all. So I get that. I am deeply disappointed that 2 years in a row there will be an Ohio State Fair, just nobody can go. Well, then why have it? Well, all the agriculture, the kids, the 4-H, the competition, and so forth, those things will be happening. The kids that are competing in 4-H, parents, immediate family members, and so forth, they will be able to go there. There will be a fair. It just won't be open to the public. And I get it. I'm disappointed. But, okay, I get it. But it's time to stop living in fear. And I'm not going to go deeply into this because I went pretty heavy into it yesterday. But if you do a little bit of independent research and look at the states that have been least draconian in their shutdown mask mandates and all that, if you look at the states that have opened up, almost all of them are doing far better than the states that have really locked down. For instance, Georgia. You may remember, it was months ago, and I mean months ago, the governor of Georgia said, you know, we're going to start opening things up. Before almost any other state, Georgia said, yeah, we're going to open up the economy. Long before Texas, long before Mississippi, long before Indiana, they were kind of the pioneer in this. And if you will remember, the news media said, everybody's going to die in Georgia. You watch. Well, I looked up the figures of new cases in Georgia yesterday. They're doing much better than Ohio. Much better than Ohio. Look up the COVID cases, deaths, hospitalizations, and so forth in Texas. And compare that to Ohio. Well, those Neanderthals down in Texas are actually doing quite well. So anyway, I won't say anything more about that. But bad news, the Ohio State Fair will be closed to the public. Individual county fairs will be allowed to be open this summer. It will be up to the individual counties to determine the extent to mask mandates, crowd control, and all of that stuff. I would imagine that most of the more rural counties are going to operate their county fairs pretty much as normal this year, as opposed to last year. But we'll see. Ohio State Fair, closed. to the public. That news was announced today by the Ohio Expositions Commission. Sad. Really? I mean, really, it's sad. All right, quick break. We'll be back.
Bob Burney Live. Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. I try to give you updates of stories that we have covered previously. Vonnie Bockham is a black Southern Baptist preacher whose voice is desperately needed. He is a voice of reason, a voice of sound theology, and many of you are followers of Vonnie Bockham and fans of his speaking, his writing. By the way, he has a brand new book that comes out either today or tomorrow. I believe it's out this week. The name of the book is Fault Lines. Fault Lines. And I have not read it yet. I'm going to try to get my hands on a copy. Can't wait to see it. Fault Lines, the social justice movement and evangelicalism's looming catastrophe. Deals with critical race theory. And if it's by Vonnie Bockham, you can trust it. Anyway, most of you know that he has had some pretty serious heart issues. He is the Dean of Theology at African Christian University in Zambia. He also has a ministry in Texas, but he has been living in Zambia, and he's Dean of Theology of African Christian University. He had a heart attack in Zambia. Had to be flown back to America on an emergency basis, went to the Mayo Clinic, had some kind of surgical procedure, and they said, hey, he's doing well, he's doing fine. And about 4 weeks later, he had more serious complications, and bottom line, on Monday of this week, he had to have quadruple bypass surgery. Monday of this week, quadruple bypass surgery. Obviously, very serious. The good news is he came through the surgery fine, and I believe it was this morning he has been taken out of intensive care in a what they usually call is a step-down unit. So came through the surgery successfully. Obviously, he has a long road of recovery ahead, but what I read this morning, he is now out of intensive care in a step-down unit and will be beginning therapy and so forth. That is a long recovery after quadruple bypass surgery. But praise God, he came through the surgery. You pray for him and his family. And I was hoping, because he seemed to be doing so well, I was hoping to have him for an interview to talk about his book, Fault Lines, but obviously that's not going to be possible for a while. But I encourage you, again, I haven't read it, but if it's by Vonnie Bockham, I know it will be good. And there is a desperate need for a reasoned explanation of how critical race theory is so dangerous. And I believe that he is the man to give us that explanation. So anyway, pray for him. Another update. My goodness, this goes back all the way to 2016. I think it was 2016. Two artists in Phoenix, Arizona. Brianna Koski and Joanna Duca. They have an art studio called Brush and Nib Studio. Brush and Nib Studio. Well, they were just kind of doing their own thing, minding their own business, creating pieces of art for different individuals. They have an art studio. They sell art. They produce art. Someone came in and wanted them to provide some art for a same-sex wedding. Were they set up? Probably. These two Christian female artists said, yeah, no, can't do that. That violates our Christian convictions. So the same-sex couple took them to court. Yep, took them to court, and the same-sex couple won. But they didn't give up, this young couple. In fact, let me take you through the timeline. In May of 2016, these two young women filed a lawsuit against the city of Phoenix over the ordinance. I'm sorry, I misled you on that. The ordinance was passed in 2013 in Phoenix, an anti-discrimination ordinance and so forth. All right. The same-sex couple came, wanted them to do art for a same-sex wedding. They said no. Well, the same-sex couple filed a case with the city of Phoenix. The city of Phoenix said, you have violated the ordinance that was passed, and you are now discriminating. It was at that time, in May of 2016, these two young women filed a lawsuit against the city of Phoenix over the ordinance. That was in May of 2016. That September, Arizona Superior Court Judge Karen Mullins ruled against these two women in their request to block enforcement of the law. That was September. Then in October, Judge Mullins again ruled against Duca and Koski, these two young women. They appealed. In June of 2018, a judicial panel of the Arizona Court of Appeals unanimously ruled against these two young artists, concluding, quote, that they failed to prove that Section 18-4B substantially burdens their religious beliefs by requiring that they provide equal good and services to same-sex couples. So at this point, they have lost in court three times. Did they give up? Nope. They acquired the services of ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom, and they took it to the Arizona Supreme Court. So they have lost in three lower courts, but they didn't give up. They took it to the Arizona Supreme Court, and I am very happy to report to you, now they have won. The Arizona Supreme Court ruled in their favor and declared that they cannot be forced to make same-sex wedding invitations or art for same-sex couples. That's a cool story. They lost three times, but they didn't give up.